In this episode, Philip Zahta helps us uncover the hidden dangers of cognitive load in projects. From managing resistance to change to building effective communication channels, this episode will revolutionize your approach to project management. I'm your host, Anthony Pearl, and this is Level Up Transformation. Philip, I wanted to ask you about this idea of cognitive load. What does it mean for projects and how do you handle it in the right way?
So cognitive load, well, firstly, I'd say understand what the detriments of cognitive load are. So we know, we've spoken about it before, cognitive load, it's kind of like the mental strain on your technical resources. But then what's the effect? You know, some people say, oh yeah, people just burning, you know, they've got a lot on their mind, but that's just standard. But things like human error, technical debt, there's another buzz term for you. There's a big one. Security threats. I've seen projects where the lead developers who've just been burnt out with so much work have accidentally left the APIs unsecured. And it's just human error because they're burnt out. They're just not thinking straight. You know, resource limitations, the project management, physical and mental strain. I'm sure there's people out there who, if not been involved, seen people pass out at their desks. I've seen it because of just the amount of work that they've done. And that's the effect of cognitive load that we need to start to appreciate, especially in the industry. So we need to make sure that we alleviate that problem.
Before we get to, I guess, how we alleviate it, what I wanted to ask was the identification that you've got a problem in the first place, because I think many don't appreciate what's involved in it, because often the whole idea of grabbing a piece of software, for argument's sake, is this concept that, right, we plug it in, away we go, we're off and running, only takes a few minutes and we're done. But the actual, you know, getting it to the point where it is actually running and then managing it as it's going along the way can take a huge amount of effort that's often underestimated, isn't it? It's very rarely just plug it in and away we go.
Yeah, and that's where it comes down to understanding the requirement and really breaking down what you want, what's your value propositions you're trying to solve, what's the journey, and can that technology that you're plugging in doing it, and if it doesn't, what's the level of customization, what's the effort of customization, whether it's, do we need to hire more people, do we need to be ready to hire more people, what have you, and appreciating that will actually make it a better transitional process. It's not just switching it on, obviously, it's how do I also transition data from my old system to the new one? Do we have a pathway for that? Some people, they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you buy this piece of technology, you can just import here using a spreadsheet or an API connector. I think I've seen it work maybe 2 out of the 10 times I've seen it implemented. Always the data's not in the right format or it's missing data. So it's, again, doing those, you know, we talked about MAP, doing those little pilot programs, those test runs, seeing what's involved. Doing it at a small scale before you go and chuck the whole organization into it. Yeah, all these different things can help.
Yeah, I think that's the one interesting part about technology, isn't it? Because at first you sit in a room and you kind of go, oh, we want it to do all of these kinds of things. And then you see it starting to do that kind of thing. And suddenly there's a whole bunch more things that you want it to be doing. So there's always that development that happens along the way. And then it's starting to work out, well, now we've changed some of the parameters. You know, it's a bit late to go back and re-examine whether this was the right technology in the first place. So now you're starting to adapt it to what the needs are. And are those needs real? Are they things that are nice to have versus things that we should be having? Are they benefiting internal or external? There's a lot of things to consider even once you get past that initial phase.
Yeah, correct. And I think the key to that is going to my previous point about doing things in smaller microbursts or microservices, microtransactions, micro functionality, you know, so that if you get to the point, let's just throw something out there. Let's just say, okay, we have a knowledge management system in our organization. All right, that's just one part of it. And the idea is that when a customer goes to help, they get a little thing on the side of the screen that says, hey, how can I help you? And it, you know, before we've had chatbots and we've had all this, hey, how do we replace that with AI? How hard is that going to be? You know what I mean? Rather than rebuilding the whole website, if that was built in a micro service slash transactional way, you could just upgrade that module effectively to the new thing and then you just slot it right in. Little downtime, nice and easy. You've mitigated your risk, you've moved on. That's just one simple example. But using that approach can help with that. And then tying it, and this is where it comes back all to the argument of platform engineering, because then you're in with the principles of platform engineering, you define that and say, okay, the way we do live interactions with customers is using this chatbot technology, and this is how we do it everywhere in our organization. So you replace it in one, and guess what? You've got a benefit that it applies everywhere in your organization as well.
Yeah, and I think that one of the hardest things is that you've got this technology that comes in, and then people haven't really appreciated what it's capable of doing until it's there, and then suddenly they want it to do more. That's the how often do you see that?
Oh, I've seen it so often. I've even seen that the flip where it's like an organization would be complaining about a piece of tech. Oh, this website is crap. It doesn't do what we need, blah, blah, blah. So they replace it with something new and they're like, oh, I wish we had the old one again. I wish we had the
Oh,
old
yes.
one. The other one was so much better. But 3 months ago, you were complaining that you couldn't wait to get rid of it. And now.
I know an organization that that happened to, and the amount of people that they had that liked the older way of doing things. And so it wasn't just a visual website, it was the older way of doing things within that website became in such demand that they had to have a little button where you could actually go and go back to the old website. And they measured that over a period of time to see, well, is it actually true? And there is that balance, you know. Some people have, and we've spoken about a little bit before, but that resilience, or that sort of resistance, I should say, rather, to change. And when you're changing the way of going about doing something, that can be met with a lot of resistance.
Oh yeah, but this is where it comes back down to that communication piece, right? Communicating with people, the stakeholders, bringing them along the journey. You know, I've seen so many projects where the executives will sit in a boardroom for weeks and months and just come up with a plan and not involve anybody under their pay grade. And then they just expect people to go along with it. It doesn't work that way. You will get resilience, you'll get that issues. And this is where if you're building a system for the frontline people, bring the frontline people into the conversation. Simple as that. Make sure they're a part of the project. Sure, I've got like they're not all going to take time off work to be involved. Yeah, cool. They can delegate somebody, but at least have that flow of information so they know what's going on and they have opportunity to give that feedback without being ostracized for it. You know, what they can say, I don't like this because of this, or have you thought of this? And you'd be surprised. Some of them come up with really good ways of doing things. I had one person say to me, it's quicker for me to do this in Excel and then import it manually at the end of the day than it is to use a system. But then the problem for that was the operational manager couldn't get any of the stats till that person's uploaded their spreadsheet, you know, things like that. And this is where you need to just bridge that gap.
Yeah, and I think that is an important point because often you've got this disconnect between management, people who are on the front line, and then potentially even the audience, the end beneficiaries of whatever it is that you're doing as well.
The customers, yeah.
And understanding what's actually important. You know, I think that often gets lost in it because sometimes you can say, oh, it does all of these fancy things, and then you go, yeah, but does the end user really care? Is it going to make the difference? And is it going to make the difference? And that person could be your internal team. You know, you'd say, oh, well, it's going to do all these whiz bang things and saying, yeah, but it's not really solving the fundamental day-to-day problem of what I actually needed resolved. And these are all just froth and bubble on the side.
Yeah, that's right. It's like you're not going to please everybody. Let's be serious about that. That's not going to happen. But you need to be able to do it in the point where you can justify the expenditure, but also justify the end user experience of where's the benefit? What's it going to do? It's not just going to be we brought in this new piece of software because it's the latest thing. I've seen organizations running software from the 80s that's still running, you know, and they got faster response time than anything you have today. But again, it's all coming back down to what's the benefit of and why are we doing this? What's the context of us doing this?
And just a reminder that this podcast is made possible by Zedware, software development and consulting solutions to help increase efficiency in your business. For information on how to get in contact with Philip and the Zedware team, go to zedware.au. Of course, look in the show notes for more information and don't forget to subscribe. Now back to the podcast. Yeah, and sometimes technology can get ahead of itself and not provide the solutions that ultimately it was meant for in the first place. It just provides new technology for the sake of new technology. And it's finding that balance, isn't it? Because sometimes people getting their hands dirty with the old-fashioned way of doing it can produce a better result unless you understand fundamentally what they needed in the first place.
Yeah, correct.
And I think technology is something that people really have to take that approach of what is the ideal that everyone is trying to resolve and scale it, really, isn't it? It's what are the things that are nice to have versus what are the things that these are going to be life-changing.
Yeah, well, it depends on which lens you're looking at it, right? So from a senior management perspective, it's again, how do we either reduce the cost or increase output and profits? Whereas from the front line, it's how do I reduce my effort in my day-to-day job, but still, how do I make my life easier? Everyone's got different views on what they want out of a platform or system. So it all comes down to the lens.
Yeah, look, I was talking to someone recently about some technology in the automotive industry, and the management was so focused on particular outcomes that they didn't see there was one problem that could be resolved by developing a piece of software, and that the internal person had that idea of what to do, and it saved hours per vehicle that was coming in with this particular problem, which ultimately saved huge amounts of money, all levels of the business. And if they hadn't have listened, they wouldn't know that they had this piece of gold sitting there with one person who was not capable of building that technology, but knew what was needed to be done and really understood what the problem was.
Yeah, definitely. And that just speaks volumes to the point of communication, speaking to the stakeholders, speaking to the system users, the customers, understanding what they want out of it. Because again, having that collaborative piece, that's all it is collaboration, is being able to appreciate people's experiences and what they think, and then just taking that in and kind of coming with this just awesome deliverable.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to where we started this sort of conversation about cognitive load, is that it can't be in the hands of one person.
No, definitely not. Don't get me wrong, you can still have the leads. There's always going to be a place for them, but it's a bit, there's a difference between the lead and, having that cognitive load on that superhero syndrome because that pressure's there. And things like speaking to them, implementing platform engineering protocols, different aspects like that allow you to remove that cognitive load and effectively remove bottlenecks and risks out of the organization and the projects.
Yeah, and that's right. That's the other side of things as well, is that you also don't want things to become obsolete quickly either.
Yeah, well, define the term obsolete because anybody will tell you, like right now, if you're using RESTful protocols, depending on who you talk about, they'll say, oh, yeah, you're still using REST APIs. That's old tech. You should be using this new stuff. And it's like, well, that's your perspective, right? But at the end of the day, it's using the best tool for the time frame that you need it for. So if you're going to develop something that's going to last you 3 years, cool, build for 3 years, don't build for 10, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it is an important point, isn't it? Because we talk about future-proofing, but future-proofing for when? There's a point where you have to accept that you're going to need to redo something. It's not going to be there forever. So you have to build it for a time frame, don't you? Whatever it is, you have to look at it from time period.
Yes, correct. But also not being so rigid that you can't pivot, as we mentioned before, right? Well, you need to be able to, if tweak a system or add a little extension to it or do something like that, that will solve that little unexpected thing that's come up in 18 months. But at the same time, not build for the next 10 years where it could be obsolete in 12 months. You know what I mean? So it's yeah, it's interesting. Keeps it fun.
most definitely it is. And I just wanted to round off that bit of the discussion with this idea of project management as well, because that's where a lot of this kind of information is held and how things are run and communicated. And I mean, How have you seen project management and the approach to it change, and where do you think that potentially is going, that need to change the way we think about it because of, the way technology demands that we think about it?
I think coming back to your previous one, we mentioned about people's longevity in in their employment. You know, people used to last a lot longer in their jobs, and not saying from, you know, it's just, you know, what do they call it? The retention rate. It was with project management today, which is a bit disappointing. I'm seeing in some cases, and again, not all, in some cases where the project manager is there to deliver what they need to deliver, and they don't care about the future. If the thing falls over 2 weeks after they leave, they don't care. You know, it's they've ticked that box. They look great today. They're executives. They've got their promotion. They're good, and that's been a bit unfortunate. But there are some project managers who I've met, you know, in government space who've been there for years, who are really dedicated to their roles, and they try to push those innovations. They try to push that technology. Sometimes they're met with, "Oh, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about," but it is what it is. And that's really unfortunate. So it's kind of a mixed bag. But what I'm seeing with it is they're trying to do more with less, and that's the big challenge. That's the common thing between them, as in they're trying to deliver more and more and more with less people, less resources, less information. And I don't envy that, because that's a really challenging scenario.
Thanks for listening to the Level Up Transformation podcast. Contact details for Zedware and Philip Zada are included in the show notes. This show has been produced by Podcast Done For You. I'm your host, Anthony Pearl. Don't forget to subscribe and listen in to the next episode.